The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines. It is Monday, and it is March 8th, and it's about almost 3 o'clock Eastern time. I have got a devotional word that has been burning in my spirit now for over a week. I've actually, in my own home church in Monroe, Georgia, I shared this on a Friday night service we had, and then I shared a little bit of this yesterday on Sunday morning, and I want to share it with you guys today on podcasts and Facebook and YouTube as well. So listen, if you're just joining us and this is your first time ever being on the broadcast, right there in the comment section below, right there on Facebook Live, please let us know that you're new and where you're joining us from. And as always, if you are a returning visitor, that you've always been here, we consider you family and we welcome you back to the broadcast and on to the program today. So I want to talk about the danger. This is a devotional word today. That's what we're going to talk about. The danger of making his presence a common thing. So that's going to be our topic today. So let's get on this thing. I'm going to be going in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three synoptic gospels, all three writers. I believe personally, there's some debate on this between some scholars and some those who interpret scripture on whether these events are separate events or all of the same. I believe personally that they're all three the same event. But again, we're going to see this from three different gospel angles. So I'm going to read this and then I'm going to expound on this and explain to you what the Holy Spirit gave me. And again, like I said, this has been burning in my heart for about a week. Let's go to Matthew 26. So if you've got your Bible, you can bookmark these. Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 7. All three of these, I believe, explain or give us a picture of the same event. Here it is. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster box or an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always." I'm going to say that again. "But me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say unto you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Now, that was from the account of Matthew. Now, I want to give you the same story from the account of Mark. Here it is. But let me go back up here. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and saying, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. Notice they criticized her and not Jesus. Oh, I know where I'm going here in just a second. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them, but me, you do not have always." Again, he's emphasizing this. "She has done what she could." Oh, I want to say it again. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be also told as a memorial to her." And that's what we're doing today, honestly. Now I'm going to give you the same, I believe the same incident, but this is recorded from the Gospel of Luke. And then we're going to preach a little bit here. Here it is. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, they spoke one to another, saying, if this man was truly a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Oh, there's a reason why I read all three of these gospels to you in just a second. And Jesus answered, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. And he gives him this parable. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing in which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who had been forgiven much. And he said to him, you have rightfully judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. I want to say it again. Jesus is speaking here. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not stopped kissing my feet from the time that I came in or from the time my presence came in the house. Golly. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same will love little. And then he said to her, he turns to her, says, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him begin to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? That he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, I told you at the beginning of this broadcast, I said the title of this message today, this devotional word today, is the danger of making his presence a common thing. I believe, listen, we can all, there's three groups of people here that we need to talk about. There is the woman with the alabaster box, who according to the Bible was a sinner. Oh, come on. There's speculation of who this woman was. Some say this is Mary Magdalene. Some say it's another woman. But nevertheless, we know according to the scripture that she was a sinner. She was probably a prostitute. She was bound by sin. She had, come on, she had problems. She was not born again. She was not saved. Watch this. So we have her. We have three characters here. We have the woman, we have the Pharisees, and we have the disciples. And I'm going to say a fourth one. We have Jesus. So let me recap this. We have four groups of people, and they're all in the same house. Somebody say they're all in the same house. You have the woman, you have the disciples, you have the Pharisees, and you have Jesus. I'm going to let you figure out who the common denominator of this entire message is, and it's Jesus. So in the midst of these three, the woman, the Pharisees, and the disciples, Jesus is in the middle. Jesus is there. His presence is in the house. Somebody say his presence is in the house. See, we got a problem in the church today, and it's not his presence. Listen, we don't have a problem with presence. Jesus said, where there are two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So I can go, listen, I can get with my wife and my two kids, and Jesus is in the house. His presence is there. Even the word of the Lord says, lo, I'll be with you even until the end of the age. Listen, right here on this podcast, the presence of the Lord is with me. He's in this home. He's in this place. He's right here with me. He's in your home. He's in your place. If you're born again, you're saved. You're actively serving him. His presence is there. Listen, it's not the presence that we have a problem with, but it's how are we responding to his presence when it's there. Let me say that again. How are we responding to his presence? Because see, this is the danger of making his presence a common thing. I believe the disciples got used to and accustomed to making his presence a common thing. After all, these guys left everything they had to follow after him. They were with him all the time. They traveled with him. They ate with him. They ministered with him. They were with him through the storms. They were with him on the mountain when he would pray. They were with him at the Garden of Gethsemane. They were with him when he went and did miracles. They were with him when signs, wonders, and miracles were happening. They were with him all the time. So they began to take the presence as a common thing. So watch this. I believe there's a lot of people in the body of Christ right now that are in danger of this. Oh, we're taking advantage of his presence. We're taking advantage of his presence in the body. So his presence is there to deliver people. His presence is in the house to save people. His presence is in the house, come on, to pull people out of bondage, to heal the sick, to cast out devils, and to set people free. But it's become a common thing, and we just show up when we want to show up, and we just do what we're going to do when we're going to do it. We come in, and we're looking at our phones, and we're scrolling through Facebook. We're scrolling through our Twitter accounts. We're scrolling through TikTok. We're halfway falling asleep in the church. We're not paying any attention. We're trying to figure out where we're going to eat when the service is over. We're trying to do our bills while we're sitting in the congregation. We're falling asleep during worship. Come on. We're sitting down while the song is saying standing on the promises of God. So we're doing all this thing. Why? Because it's become a common thing. But see, this is what was happening. So Jesus was in the house. The disciples were in the house. But watch this. And then the religious folks were in the house. But then, come on, someone who was an outcast, someone who wasn't even invited in the house. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. Someone who didn't look the part, talk the part, act the part. She wasn't in part of the denomination. She wasn't in leadership. She wasn't invited by anybody. So she shows up in the back door and brings everything she has and breaks it at the feet of Jesus. She risked her reputation. She risked her character. She didn't care what people thought about her. Listen, why? Because I'm telling you, friends, this is what the Lord began to stir up in my heart. When we first had our encounter with God, when we first came face to face with the Lord, when we first experienced his loving kindness that led us into repentance, and we were born again, we were saved, we were radically transformed. I'm telling you, some of y'all, it's been so long, you can't even remember it, but I'm telling you, it's like the burdens of the world were lifted off you. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the old had passed away. In 2000, 21 years ago, when I said yes to him, I'm telling you, there was a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory that came on me to know that I was no longer bound and destined for hell, to know that I now had a purpose, to know that I was now born again, set free, and he established my goings. When his presence came into my life and set me free and established my goings, friends, I'm telling you, there is not an expression that I could give you of the joy that I received. And I'm telling you, I couldn't wait to get in his word. Couldn't wait to get in his presence. Couldn't wait to get in prayer. Couldn't wait to get into the house of God. But listen, over time, I'm telling you, if I'm guilty of this, I guarantee you a lot of people listening to this day has been guilty of this. We begin to make his presence a common thing. We go into the house of God, and before you know it, we don't even realize it, but we become accustomed to routine. We come accustomed to order. We come according to accustomed to church protocol and structure and programs and these things. And whether we even realize it or not, we find ourselves on, we get in on this hamster wheel. And here's what I've discovered. Many times it takes an outsider, someone who, come on, the drug addict of the town, the prostitute of the town, the drunkard of the town, the drug lord of the town, to come into the house of God. And then all of a sudden, all the eyes are on them. Because while everybody else is falling asleep in worship, they're coming in and they're coming in and experiencing the same presence that you and I have available to us. But they all of a sudden experience the presence of the Lord that they have never felt, never experienced. And now this joy unspeakable and full of glory has come upon them. They begin to weep. They begin to travail. They begin to repent. They run to the altar. They don't even wait for you to give an altar call. They run to the altar, hands lifted up, fall on their knees before the Lord and get completely set free and delivered, and didn't give a flip about what you thought, what I thought. They didn't ask permission. They came not for you, not for me, not for the pastor, not for the church, not for the denomination. They came because they recognized that Jesus was in the house. And here's what I've discovered. Many times when this happens, come on somebody, it will offend even the people that are quote unquote, the remnant will get offended. Notice both groups got offended. The Pharisees got offended because she was known, come on, as the town prostitute or the quote unquote sinner. So they were offended that she would even dare come into their house. Come on. And then the disciples got offended because their eyes were not on souls and not on deliverance, but their eyes was on money. And by the way, before you say, well, no, it was Judas. No, let me read this again. Verse 8, but when his disciples, plural, when his disciples saw it, they were indignant and they began to talk among themselves. We could have used that money. We could have used that oil. We could have used that and done this and this and this. Guys, you say, what's your point, preacher? This is my point, guys. My heart has been broken over this. And I'm trying to hold back the tears even talking about this, because I'm seeing this and it just stirs me up. If we begin to make the presence of the Lord a common thing, we begin to take our eyes off what is, come on, the main thing. When his presence becomes a common thing, we get our eyes off the main thing. What is the main thing? All of heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, Lord, help us. If we ever get to a point where we make his presence a common thing, then we'll begin, listen, we'll get on the sidelines and become critical. Or we'll have such blinders of religion on us that we will see all the titles that the world has put on somebody and can't see through that this person, come on, is reaching out for the Lord. And they're trying to come to get delivered and set free. Come on. I'm telling you, there is people out there that even though you know you're saved, you know you're not the same person, you know you're born again, you know the transformation that you've had with the Lord, you know the encounter that you've had with God. But I'm telling you, there's family members, there's employers that you work with, there's friends you used to run with, and they don't see you any different. They still want to title you. They still want to name you. They still want to say that you're the same individual. And the only difference is now they'll say you found religion. Listen, I had them all say that to me. Well, what did you hear about what happened to Ricky? Yeah, he don't want to run with us anymore. He's too good for us. He don't smoke pot anymore. He don't party with us anymore because he found religion. No, and I had to sit down and explain to him, listen, and I had to say, look, I did not find religion. Religion don't set you free. Religion don't fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Religion doesn't heal your body when you're sick. Religion doesn't cast out devils. Religion doesn't heal the sick. No, I said, Jesus, come on, set me free. The only name given under heaven into men in which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. I said, there is a real God and he set me free. So here's what I want to show you. Listen, let me share a real testimony with you. Let me be transparent. And some of y'all's heard this story, some of y'all haven't, but it goes right with what we're talking about today. And then we're going to close this segment and we're going to pray for some folks. Many years ago, listen, I discovered I had an evaluation. God did an assessment on me at the moment, and I discovered that I had become, I was guilty of making his presence a common thing. Many years ago, I was in the state of Virginia and we visited my in-law's church. Now they go to, and I'm not going to name what kind of denomination is or whatever, but they go to it's a large church and they don't believe in lifting your hands. They don't believe in expressive worship. But I guarantee they believe in expressive celebration when it comes to sports, but not expressive worship to the one, come on, who saved them and set them free. But nevertheless, that's a whole other message on another day. But nevertheless, they didn't believe in expressive worship. So you didn't lift your hands. You didn't show any expression in worship. So when we got in there, they would have contemporary praise and worship. And of course, we're lifting our hands. And there was, don't get me wrong, there was a couple people. I'm talking a handful out of thousands of people. So anyway, the service went on, and eventually, and it was a good message. And I will say this, the message was centered around the baptism of John, but they never get to, look, most churches preach on the baptism of John, and then they stop, and they don't move on to the baptism of Jesus. I probably shouldn't even went there because that's a whole other message in itself. Listen, John said, "Lo, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." So there's a baptism of John that I guarantee 90% of everybody that's probably watching this understands this, or they can relate to that. But then there's the baptism of Jesus with the Holy Ghost and fire. So obviously we were in a setting of people that were very accustomed to operating in and functioned in the baptism of John. So very good message. They gave an altar call and they said, if anybody would wish to give their heart to the Lord, we want to invite you to come down to the front. And this was, again, a large church. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting there with my wife and I noticed that she gets up out of her seat, walks down and goes up front. And I'm sitting here thinking, my goodness, We've been doing this all these years. What is she doing? Was she not saved? Was she not born again? So I watched her. She went down and there was praise and worship going during the altar call where they were praying with people and whatnot. So when she got down there, I was like, what is going on here? So I watched her. She dropped to her knees with her hands lifted up and began to express expressive worship. Now, in a normal setting, this is very typical. And my wife has no shame of worship in the Lord. She don't care where she's at. And she was doing, now listen, I'm in this atmosphere. I wish I could tell you that I was excited that she did this, but because of the atmosphere that we were in, this like embarrassment came over me. I'm just being real. I'm being raw. Let me finish my story here before you judge me. For that split second, I became embarrassed. And right after that thought came to me, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, "Are you embarrassed at my presence?" And guys, I started weeping right there standing up with everybody else. I started weeping and I said, "God, forgive me. Lord, I'm not ashamed of your presence." And then he said, "I want you to look around and watch what happened." So I looked around and I'm going to close here in just a second. Because of her act of obedience, What did I tell you at the beginning of this? I said, it's not about presence, but it's how we respond to his presence. But because of her obedience to how she responded to his presence, the Lord said, look around and see what you notice. So I started looking around, and all of a sudden, because of one act of obedience, other people begin to get set free. I feel his presence right now as I'm talking to you. Other people begin to get set free in the congregation in a place where they were not supposed to be expressive in the worship because of one person's obedience, because she went down, oh, come on, and broke her box. What came out of her box, what came out of her expression of worship began to resonate, and it fumigated the whole congregation. And her act of obedience, this person over here began to shoot their arms up. I saw this person begin to worship. I saw other people coming forward, and people were beginning to weep, and people begin to cry, and people coming forward. And my Lord, and the Lord immediately reminded me of this story, because this woman that we read about did not hesitate. She didn't care about reputation. She didn't care about the titles that everybody titled with. She could have been stoned. She could have been outcasted. She could have been killed. But she said, I know who's in the house. I didn't come for the disciples. I didn't come for the Pharisees. I didn't come because I was bored. I came because I've heard of what this man could do. I've seen him deliver a woman who had an issue of blood that couldn't be healed by doctors, by physicians, and by experts. And because she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. I seen this man walk through a crowd of a funeral and touch a casket and a young boy come up out of the casket. I saw this man stand at a tomb that a man was dead for 4 days and stinking and command him to come to life. I didn't come here for you. I don't know why you came to church or why you go to church or why do you go a home study group or why you come, but I come for his presence. And when we're in his presence, we got to be expressive. Some of y'all listen, I don't know what God's delivered you out of. I don't know what he's brought you out of, but I know what he's done for me. I know what he set me free from. I know what I could have been, and I know what I should have been. So I refuse to let some dry, dead up, plucked from the roots twice Pharisee tell me and try to tag me with titles and tell me I can't be expressive in my worship. Listen, I don't care if the church gets mad at me. I don't care if the pastor gets mad at me. I didn't come for you. I came for him. I wish somebody, I know this is a podcast. I know we're not in a church service, but I wish you would just praise him right there in your living room. Praise him right there in your car. Come on, turn the worship up a little bit louder and make the devils in your car a little bit more mad. Come on, let your neighbors know that it's from, come on, I want you to turn up worship so loud that your neighbors outside will know that as for you and your house, you shall serve the Lord. Whew. I'm telling you, friends, this is what God's been burning in my heart. Listen, if we want to get complacent and we want to get apathetic, I'm telling you, the best ingredient to become apathetic and complacent and lukewarm is to make his presence a common thing. Lord, forgive us. And that leads me right now to pray. I want to be right now where the anointing is flowing. I want to pray for you right now, Father. If there's anybody under the sound of my voice, and Lord, this word has went forth, and I know it will not return void, but it will establish and it will equip that thing it was sent forth to do. I believe there's other people on the other end of this microphone, on the other end of this camera, that I believe they, by their own assessment, I believe that they have made your presence a common thing. And Lord, you're not here to condemn them. You're here, Lord, you're here with your arms wide open, and you're giving them an invitation for a fresh encounter. And Lord, somebody is breaking their box right now. They're expressing their worship. They're opening their mouth right now, and they're saying, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for making your presence a common thing. Jesus, forgive me. Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that when I should have died of an overdose, you were there. When I should have died of alcoholism, racism and alcohol poisoning. I was there. Thank you that when I should have been beaten and killed and dead and left for broken, busted and disgusted, Lord, you were there and you have established me. You've healed me. You've set me free. And Lord, may all the days of my life, may I not take this for granted and make your presence a common thing. So today I choose to respond to your presence. I choose to be like Isaiah and say, here am I, Lord, send me, use me, transform me, and use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Come on. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Listen, somebody got on this podcast today and say, my Lord, I thought I was going to get some kind of prophetic revelation. Well, this is prophetic revelation. This may not be end time prophetic, but I'm telling you, it is a right now prophetic. It's a right now prophetic, and this is what you need. This is what we need right now is this kind of a word, because I'm seeing this, guys. I'm seeing this all over the place where people are becoming apathetic. And God help us that we don't become apathetic. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, I'm telling you, I believe people got a fresh touch on that. If you felt anything like I felt just now, I'm telling you, I felt the anointing come all the way up from my feet, all the way up my body and out my mouth. Endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. That's where you're going to find our main website. If you've not yet subscribed, please go and subscribe. Get our daily digest. You'll get these messages and stuff like this in inbox, all of our news and headlines from a prophetic prophetic perspective, just like this. If you have not downloaded our free app, it is available on Apple Play Store. It's available on Google Play. It's absolutely free. Did I mention it's free? Everybody likes free things. Listen, you go to a Costco or a Sam's. They don't do this much anymore because of the COVID. But I remember my kids used to love going in there because they would always have those carts, and the ladies would have those carts, and the people would have those carts, and they would be giving away free drinks, free cookies, free candy bars, and free samples of this. So listen. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And listen, as far as data goes, it doesn't take much data at all to run this thing. So trust me, I have the app downloaded on my phone. So you can get this. Just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official trademark logo. Get the app into your hands. You'll get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You'll get notifications. You'll get our podcast, our YouTube channel. All that's going to be there. So that's why we want to encourage you to do that. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, equips you, and it informs you. We try to do all angles, because we want to give you information. Like our last week, we had a prophetic update in which we was talking about a cycle of weather patterns, and you're going to see that information. But then there's going to be times like this where the Lord just gives me this download in my spirit, and I feel like it's relevant to the body of Christ, and I just want to get that out and share this with you. And that's what we do here. So if this ministry is a continual source of blessing to you, and you want to give back, you want to support, you want to partner with us, you can do that giving electronically with the app to the website, or you can give by check or money order. And you can do that by making it out to you right there on your screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, guys, thank you so much for hopping onto the broadcast today. Remember, don't forget to share this. If you're watching the rebroadcast of this, share the link and whatnot with those who you believe will be blessed by this message. So we're going to sign off for today. We'll be off tomorrow, and we will be back on Wednesday. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.